This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and to get 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter offer code Android at checkout. A better web starts with your website. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. I can still hear myself twice, but we're going to keep going. Episode 202 for Friday, September 12th, 2014. I know what city I'm in. And if it sounds like I'm excited about that, it's because I am. How's it going? Phil Nickinson. We got Jerry Hildenbrand this week.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And a couple special guests. Man, I totally blew off the intro I had. I was going to be all... Have two of my favorite people here this week. I'm one of them, Jerry Hildenbrand's the other. You know, not even that funny, but anyway, I got to use it. J.R. Raphael is with us.
Hello, hello. Happy to be here. I feel severely outbearded today, but I'm glad to be here nevertheless.
Well, if we podcast long enough, maybe we can do something about that.
Work on it. I'm trying.
And we've got Russell Holly back again.
Hello.
So, let's recap the past couple weeks, shall we? Which I keep doing for my own.
Something happened over the last couple of weeks.
I keep doing it for my own edification because I don't remember much of last week, and this week was kind of the antithesis of it. This week was so slow, I just happened to not be home for any of it. So last week, sorry, I'm fixing something on the site that I should have fixed first. Last week we had Samsung, then we had Motorola, then I came home for 2 days, then we went to Las Vegas for Super Mobility Week, which actually turned out more like. Fine, I'm in Vegas. And not a whole lot happened there. But a lot of stuff has happened in the meantime, I guess. Where do you guys, we're going to jump into it. Where do you want to start? You want to start Motorola stuff? You want to talk Samsung and recap some of that? Or all this Hangouts mess? Or
we could do a little tiny bit of Hangouts, because I feel occasionally like I'm the only person who actually likes the Note Edge.
Yes, okay. You are the only person.
It looks asymmetrical, and that throws a lot of people off. But after holding one and messing around with it, there are a couple of things that curved display I think would just be really super neat for. I obviously need to spend more time with one to determine whether it's just gimmicky stuff, because we've seen Samsung do that before. But everything that they showed off and the little bit of time that I got to spend with it, I really think that as long as you're not the kind of person who absolutely must have kind of that pure Google experience in one form or fashion, that this is kind of a neat way to go.
I just wanted to let everybody know that I had the camera stuck on JR for like the past 10 minutes.
Oh, sweet.
I was totally not on purpose. Screen,
so.
Usually it's stuck on me.
Beautiful shot of me with my eyes off to the side looking at Russell.
So that's JR looks really annoyed. Oh, it's because I have the camera on him still.
Cameras pissed me off. Wait, what kind of program is this we're doing?
My fault. I mean, yeah, the Edge is asymmetrical, but it's supposed to be. I think it's a really cool idea. My question is, are any developers going to get into it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Samsung has managed to get developers for, their Tizen projects, and most of that has been through, direct courting, was my understanding. So they've got a pool of people that, they've worked with before. It's certainly possible.
You've got to think, if nothing else, Samsung has the resources to where they could, make some incentives for at least a handful of big developers to get on board with it. You would think by the time they launch, they want, a fair amount of people on board and things it can actually do. Because, yeah, it's a cool concept, but it's, like you guys said, going to come down to what they do with it and who gets on with it.
At the very least, we're going to be able to play Flappy Bird on that little edge.
That's damn sure.
That needs to be like the little trigger point, just right there on the edge, so you have the rest of the screen to crash into things. I mean, the good news there, I guess, is we have time for this, because we still don't know exactly when it's coming, and it sounds like it's going to be a little later rather than sooner. And then I just totally forgot the dates. I think it's like the 20th. Or the week before of November, we have the Samsung Developer Conference. So I imagine we'll get more out of that. I've heard a few other things, nothing like overly surprising that we'll get there. But yeah, Samsung's not like laying low on the developer front. Darius is nodding his head.
Yeah, I just...
Man, I just can picture holding that thing and my pinky finger just doing all kind of random flappy stuff from that thing hanging off the side, and it just...
Well, what does your pinky finger normally do?
I hold it out like Richard. But I, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm glad Samsung did it, because version 2 will be better, version 3 will be great. You have to start somewhere, and Samsung is the master of just throwing crap out there and seeing what works and what doesn't. But I can't picture myself using it or wanting it right now.
I think Jerry's going to like it. I think Jerry's going to get it. He's going to be like, guys, I was wrong. This is the coolest thing.
I just want a Note 4 in pink.
I don't know that it totally changes the way you use it. I think it just it's an interesting addition. It lets them do something interesting with those flexible displays. And it lets them do something that nobody else is doing, which everybody loves to talk about. You know, everybody's doing something else nobody else is doing yet.
Strikes me as one of those things. It definitely seems cool in concept. And I don't want to jump to any conclusions, because I think it's one of those things, until you live with it for at least a week, maybe more, we're not going to know. No, it's going to be really novel and just kind of cool at first, like, whoa, look what I can do. But then my big question is, you know, 2 weeks in, a month in, is it one of those things that you're going to never touch and never use, or is it something that's actually going to provide real value to the experience that you use? And I don't know. I'm curious. I'm intrigued.
You know, I will admit, the first thing I thought of when I saw it, other than I'm going to tap that thing on accident a million times, was build me a launcher that does away with the app drawer and has everything in a sliding bar on the side.
That'd be cool.
Scroll through my apps.
Someone could do that, right? I mean, we've got those sorts of, like, switcher, the one that doesn't have an E in it, switch R. If you came up with that sort of concept, but just specific to that strip, something like that could be pretty cool.
Well, and it's already got a setup where you can move folders full of apps over there and label them however you want. So you can manually create that launcher experience. You just can't also remove the launcher from the home screen. Mm. So, I mean, if you could, you can do one. Doing the other is just, you know, installing a custom launcher. And as long as a custom launcher doesn't screw up that side panel, then it shouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. I wonder if that's tied into the main home screen launcher. Like, if you put on Nova or whatever, is that going to jack up the little side panel, or is the side panel a separate process? That's a very interesting question.
I tried to install a custom launcher while we were at the event, and someone from Samsung scolded me, so I moved away.
Hmm. That's very bold. I respect that you tried to install
the first time someone from Samsung has scolded me during one of their events for touching things I shouldn't be touching.
That's why you're missing three fingers on your lips.
I'm not missing any fingers. They just don't work good.
What about the VR? I mean, Russell's a bigger gamer than I am, so, well, I mean, anybody's a bigger gamer than I am at this point, but I could see Russell getting into this more than me is, I think, my point.
The Gear VR?
Yeah.
It's Google Cardboard with a touch panel. I mean, it's very nice casing for this thing that we already have. Samsung built a really neat launcher for it, and they added a touch panel and volume control for when you have a Bluetooth headset connected to it. But functionally, it's not any different than what Google did with Cardboard. So if someone at Google were to take Cardboard out of a 20% project and make like a decent casing that wasn't made of Cardboard, it would be the exact same thing.
So
how pissed did Samsung have to be? Google's like, here they go, Samsung guys, they're free. And then, you know, they're all the people posted kind of do-it-yourself versions on the internet.
Yeah.
Man, those people at Samsung had to have been pissed.
All right, I'm going to have to actually open up my Cardboard now and try it and make sure everybody's not just totally making this up on me.
No, it's good stuff, especially a windy day.
Yeah.
It's very novel. It's really cool. I didn't get a chance to play with it till it was like 3 weeks after I.O. when I finally, my brain had space. I was like, oh, yeah, here it is. But I've only used it once. I tried it, showed it to a couple people, but it's cool. It's cool.
And there's a thing right now where on your desktop, there's a guy, I don't have the link handy, he made a wireless client where if you're playing a game on your PC, you can actually mirror the game to your phone in a split screen so that when you put it in Cardboard, it looks like you're watching it through an Oculus Rift, where it takes and you know, splits the display. It doesn't work great if you're playing like a super high resolution game, because you're basically wirelessly mirroring, you know, a high frame rate game. But if you do something simple, it looks really cool.
Now, we mentioned a minute ago about actually using these things for a week now. Something else we've gotten to use for a good week or so now is the Moto X and the Moto 360. I've got both here. JR, do you have both?
I do. Actually, I've got a few. More than one of both, oddly. But yeah, they're around.
I was about to like give Jerry a hard time and make him feel bad, but you just totally beat me to that punch.
That's what I'm here for.
Sorry, Jerry.
All right. That's all right.
So where do you stand? I saw you did your five things to what am I trying to call it? It's totally
five ways to make a good list, something like that.
No. I hate these lists, but you do a really good job of putting them in English and not just list for list's sake. Like when you do it, it's actually things I want to read and see and learn about.
Oh, well, thank you. I need to work on that then and make them a little more BuzzFeedy so that we click on it and grow.
I know, right? I just want to read them like a normal person and not because I have to.
No, it was kind of like a first impressionsy thing. I've got finishing up a full review that should be online early next week, more than likely. But, it's interesting because looking on at some of the early reviews and some of the more recent reviews and just user comments from folks who pre-ordered or not pre-ordered but got the early shipments when they first went on sale, there's a real divide there, and I know even among this group of us sitting here, we have some different experiences from what I've read of all of our Google Plus posts and blogs and whatnot. But for me, it's been pretty good. I've actually enjoyed the watch a lot. It's not perfect. I think it was overhyped a little bit, and because of that, now we're kind of seeing the reality. Yeah, it's technology. It's not the holy grail. But for me, it's been a pretty good experience so far, and I've enjoyed it. I haven't had the extreme battery life issues that some folks have reported. Kind of the note to that is when you have it on the, what do they call it, ambient display, basically like the dim mode of the watch has to be off. With the dim mode on, you're not going to make it through a full day. I mean, that's been my experience consistently, and it seems most people.
Let's back up and explain that, because that actually, I screwed that up pretty badly last week in a post we did. So on the 360 settings, there is something that says ambient display that is different from the ambient light sensor. All that is a slightly different version of always on. And it's not always on, which is why they can't call it always on. So it gives you that dim always on display, but it does eventually turn off after, I don't know, I never got around to counting the seconds, but it's not a huge amount of time. But it does keep it on longer than it normally would. And then you have the ambient light sensor, which does adjust it gives you auto brightness is what it does. Now, Jerry, you and I have been talking a lot over the weekend about battery life and how it's looking, and I think we've kind of come to the same conclusion, and JR, we'll see if you have as well. Russell, do you have one yet? You have one, don't you?
I do, yep.
Okay. Let's see where we all stand. For me, I think it's pretty much the display, and especially if you go outside. This is the first watch I've used, first Android Wear watch I've used that I can actually see outside. Like, I just walk outside, and hey, look, there's the screen. I can see it. Awesome. But when you do that, when that display cranks up, that's, I think, what is really killing the battery life.
Yeah, I would say that the display is definitely part of it. I'm tracking a weird thing where my Bluetooth disconnects a couple times a day, and I'm trying to figure out exactly why that's happening, if it's like the phone that I'm connected to or if it's actually something with the watch. Mm-hmm. But that's, that kind of constant Bluetooth cycling is definitely going to have an effect as well. It's weird that, like you said, when you have everything cranked up, the battery life definitely suffers. It's weird being a Google Glass user that this watch doesn't last as long as my Glass. And that, I think, is potentially problematic.
It doesn't last as long. How bad are you talking? What have you experienced?
It's only off by like an hour. I mean, like, my Glass will get me through an entire day, which is, 14 to 15 hours, the last 2 days that I've been messing with it, my watch will die right around an hour before that.
And that's even with the ambient display, the dim mode thing turned off?
That is with the dim mode turned off, but with the light sensor on.
Interesting. I haven't had any trouble making it through a full day. Again, as long as the dim mode is off. With that, forget it. But with that off, I've been okay making it through a full day. It's close. It's closer than I'd like. Usually by the end of the day, I'm like 15-20%, at the whatever 14 to 16-ish hour mark, whenever I'm getting ready to go to bed. But it is interesting how much variance there seems to be. I mean, even outside of actual reviewers, if you look at, search through Google Plus or Twitter or whatever, there are people who say that they're using it hardcore all day and have 40% left at the end of the day, and then people who say, I use it for 6 hours and it died. And then, of course, those early reviews where it was like I had to charge it four times in a day. That seemed a little extreme to me, but
that was especially when I, you know, look, I was at the same Motorola event all these people were, and unless they had them early, and they might well have, but you know, I saw these reviews come out 12 hours later.
I may also be using a watch face that that is consuming more life, and that's something that isn't being talked about as much as I think it probably should. Mm-hmm. I mean, mine is, you know, there's a lot of activity going on there for the little bit of time that it's on. So that is certainly a contributing factor, I'm sure. There are a lot of the Motorola defaults, especially the one that just has like the two numbers at the top and the dial seem to rotate around. That one doesn't have nearly the same number of animations, and so I'm sure isn't quite as taxing.
What are you seeing, Jerry?
I got mine. I charged it, installed the update, paired it with my phone, used it hard yesterday. I even played with navigation. 22 hours later, it told me it was time to charge it, and that's with ambient mode enabled.
Wow.
I don't have crazy stuff like Russell going on. I mean, I've got iFit on there. I use it to turn my lights on and off and annoy my wife. Trello and Keep. I don't have keyboards or web browsers. And I have zero connection issues. It seems to be paired just fine with my phone. I don't know what to think. I mean, I know that there are people out there with an agenda that just want to hate on something and say that it hates. But all these reports about I can't get 12 hours of battery life, I have to wonder, is it the connection of the phone? Are they just trying to do something crazy like install all 15 Android launchers and web browsers and all this other stuff? Or is there just an issue in the software that it's a bug that some people are seeing and some aren't? I just don't know.
I have heard some theories that before, you know, there was the initial software update that was there, first time it powered up or got to a certain power level, that before that, battery life was worse. The unit I'm using here, this review unit, I didn't actually ever see the software update. It was on there. I think someone else had used this before I got it, maybe that's why, but I have the current release and I never had that, but I wonder if maybe that has something to do with it. People didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of variables.
Yeah.
You have variables in the way you use the watch, right? Start with that. And you have variables that, you know, I'm assuming we all got the watches at the same time and all have the same software. I don't know. I can't speak to that. We've gone back and forth internally about, I mean, I think everybody agrees one actual day's use. You take it off in the morning, you put it back on the charger at night. That needs to be the benchmark, right? Anything less than that is really going to make me just stop and think.
I'll go further. If they're going to build an alarm into the software, it needs to last all night too.
Right.
Charge it in the morning while you're making your coffee.
That said, and part of me thinks I'm just trying to make excuses because I like the way this thing looks, and maybe I am, maybe I'm okay with that. But it's also so easy to charge this thing because it doesn't have this.
Yes.
It doesn't have a proprietary dock like all the others, right? I have Qi chargers just laying around here. There are like two sitting on my desk right now, not being used. I've got another one back here. I've got them, you know, just laying around the house because I do. And they're, you know, if you don't have them, they're relatively, you know, cheap and easy to get. You can get them anywhere. So do we kind of just say, look, you know, maybe it doesn't quite get a full day. Maybe while I'm sitting here at my desk in the middle of the day, I plop it back in the charger for an hour. Done. Not a problem. And I did that at the hotel in Vegas this week because I knew we were going to be out late that night. I said, all right, I'm sitting here. I'll just charge it up again. No big deal. Is that okay, or is that just me making excuses for it?
Well, only you know that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely at your discretion. I mean, for me personally, I feel like 24 hours is table stakes for a smartwatch. But if you are in an office and you know that you're not, I mean, because like if I'm sitting at my desk doing stuff constantly, I get the notification on like that pops up on my screen for whatever message I just got before my watch buzzes anyway. So having it on the charger in that situation, I'm not using it for its intended purpose anyway. So I can see that being okay for some people, but people who are out and about all day long, that's totally not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I can see too, if you picture like a day when you're traveling all day, picture like a day you're at Google I.O., for example, those days where you're walking around all day and really relying on it, you know, like when we were first testing the G-Watch and the Gear Live, on a day like that, it would be pretty obnoxious by 4 p.m. to say, man, this thing's down to 20%. But yeah, I mean, again, as we've been saying, that I haven't had that experience, and even when I've been testing it pretty heavily. But if, to pick up on what you were saying too, Phil, with the wireless charging, one thing that I found, and again, this not to make an excuse to say that it should need this, but aside from just any wireless charger, I've got one of these. It's just a cheap little off-brand battery pack that has wireless charging. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the size of a phone. You stick it in your pocket in your car, toss the thing on top, and boom, charging. So that, to me, there are enough trade-offs that even if the battery life is a little bit worse than what you're getting on the G Watch, it's getting me through the day, and to have the wireless charging, the auto brightness, I mean, that, I wouldn't go back to a watch without that. That just makes a world of difference. Like you were saying, Phil, it's the first Android Wear watch you can actually see outside, and you're in a dark room. It's not, you know, ramped up to level 4 or whatever you had it on. And then one other cool thing, I don't know if you guys have messed with this or not, but it took me a while to kind of figure out the intricacies of it, but the heart rate sensor actually takes measurements automatically in the background every 5 minutes, which was, I didn't even think it was that regular, but it is. And that may be eating up a little bit of battery too, but if you care about the fitness element of it, it's not the most consistently precise measurement, but every 5 minutes throughout the day, you're going to get a pretty good level, gauge of your activity level. And, you know, it's the only thing that would actually make this type of technology useful, I think, as opposed to just, you know, okay, Google, check my heart rate. If you do that manually every, twice a day, it's not going to really mean much to you. That said, it would be nice. Oops, I said that and I just activated my watch. it would be nice if you could turn that off, because some of us might not care, and that maybe that would save battery, but I don't think there's any way to do that now. But yeah, it's just, there's so many things that this does that others don't, that for me, I think I'm with you, Phil. I'm willing to accept that his battery life isn't quite as good as the others because of what I get in exchange for that.
And we do have to remember, I don't think we mentioned that yet. I mean, I was coming from a G-Watch, so you're losing 20% of the battery capacity just right there.
Yeah.
I think it's also worth pointing out that, because I've seen a couple people respond to the battery life posts and stuff with, you know, well, I'll just use this for, you know, formal wear, or like when I'm going somewhere nice, because you compare this to the other Android Wear watches, that is when you would put the Moto 360 on. It is so much nicer looking than the other devices that are out there. But the trade-off there is that Android Wear does not make switching hardware convenient right now. And while, you know, that's a huge first world problem because there are only three watches, that is probably something that will need to be addressed at some point.
I guess. I think it's pretty simple.
Well, see, then you must not have the problem. I know where Russell's coming from.
Yeah.
It doesn't just work.
Try,
say a bunch of swear words and hope the kids aren't listening, then try a couple more times.
The only thing I think I've occasionally run into is if the app doesn't want to connect it, then I'll just go in and pair it over Bluetooth, and then it works.
Make a Wear app that I remember seeing it, and I didn't have a chance to play with it, but didn't someone come out with a Wear app a little while ago that was supposed to streamline the process a little bit? Did any of you guys mess with that?
I don't think
Can't say I have.
Yeah, maybe I'm making it up. It might have just been in my head.
Let's switch over to the Moto X real quick, and then we'll get to some Q&A. I promise, since everybody here but Jerry has one, we have to talk about it.
I don't have one.
Oh, you don't have one?
Mine, actually, they split our shipment. The watch came to me, and the Moto X went to New York.
Oh.
So.
Taunting.
I haven't actually gotten in touch with you.
I am taunting you.
I'm just gonna go to JR's house. It's
cool. I don't even care.
So here's my weird thing about this phone. It's very much like using last year's Moto X, right? Same stock experience. Trusted Bluetooth is still great, although for right now it's not actually connecting to my Moto 360, which is kind of weird. Every now and then it just like forgets that it's there, and that's kind of strange. Like the watch still works fine. But I'm not getting the trusted Bluetooth. Anyway, camera is a lot better, I think, than the original. How much better? I don't know. That's maybe a little subjective, but it's definitely better. Battery life is just okay. It's not as long as the M8. It's not as long as the GS5 or the G3. But it's also a smaller capacity battery. So, you know, it's not a level playing field. I get that. Again, very much like the watch, right? You know, if I'm sitting around, I'm going to charge it in the middle of the day just because I can. But I think I can get through most of a day most of the time. I'm kind of down on the dimple. I'm calling it a crater because it's very much not a... It just doesn't feel... The dimple on the original Moto X was very much a part of the design. This thing feels like there was something else going on. Like,
feels like there should be something else there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Say it, Russell. Say it.
I'm with you on that.
May or may not have heard that there was supposed to be a fingerprint scanner there.
I'm glad there's not, but... But it just makes the whole thing feel weird. The wood back's great. The leather, I like the leather. I'm still really curious to see what happens in 8 months and see how everybody's phones look. I like the rest of the design. I think the metal on it is great. Looks better than the plastic. I'm down on the size, and that's the one thing that's getting me. What about this phone? You know, if I have to choose between this and this, and yes, I'm holding the OnePlus back up because I don't know where my G3 went. But, if I'm going to get a phone that big, do I get a G3, which has a bigger battery and a better camera and software I can deal with? Do I use a GS5, which also has a really good camera and a bigger battery? Or do I stick with the Moto X, which is going to have updates and less software that I hate?
I think, so the battery conversation always kind of bugs me a little bit when we talk about the Motorola, because the whole point of the Motorola software is that you're turning the screen on less than you would the other phones.
Yep.
And so the trade-off there is that, yes, if you're comparing them, in terms of raw horsepower, then you get less battery life out of the Moto X. But the supposed trade-off, and this was true for the original Moto X, was that the actual display is on less. You're doing less because of active display, so you're not actually getting less battery life throughout the day. And that's like I haven't been able to measure that to see if that's the case. It sounds like it's not the case for you, for this generation. But that I think the thing that made the Moto X special to me wasn't that it was the close to stock feeling. It I felt like it actually changed how I used my phone, and that I felt like was significant. So it's weird to talk about it in that context, I think.
And even more so is we're all wearing these things now, and so that that means I'm not taking the phone out of my pocket even that much more.
Right.
Yeah, and the watch too. And of course, most normal people are not wearing watches at this point, but when you factor in the watch, that takes away a little bit of the benefit of the fantastic active display, Moto display as it's branded now, because you're getting your notifications on your watch, so you're not looking at the phone screen as much. And same with the, OK Google Now or whatever you set it to be, voice mm-hmm. activation. It's awesome, but the watch kind of takes the place of that, So if you have a watch, a lot of the benefits are used less, or at least that's what I've been finding. And actually, I'm going to try to not wear the watch for a while so I can get the full feel of the phone, because I feel like I'm not using everything that I would into the full capacity because I've got this thing on my wrist at the same time.
How you doing over there, Jerry?
Just sitting here, I'm looking at the G3 and the original Moto X, trying to decide if I have to use a phone that big, why wouldn't I use the G3?
And I know the size of the original Moto X was one of your big reasons for using it, and mine too, I think.
Yep, same here.
I get why. Motorola's answer to us when I was in Chicago was, of the people we polled, and I don't know anything about the poll and how many people they talked to, but the people we asked, 75% of them said when they upgraded their phone, they would upgrade to a bigger one.
They didn't ask me.
That's always the research. I mean, all the companies, the manufacturers say that, and that's why they're going bigger, bigger, bigger. But at the same time, completely unscientific, but everyone I talk to always says, man, these phones are too damn big. Yeah. Why isn't one that'll fit my hand?
And to me, that's part of what made this phone special, was that it's a little smaller, and now it's gone from, that to that.
Stop.
Yeah.
That makes me want to cry. Stop.
So now I just have this bigger phone that, trade-offs. You always have trade-offs. Now I have this bigger phone that for, a little bit of software headache, I get a better camera, and I get much longer battery life.
Can you hold those two phones up again for me real quick?
Yes, no. I can.
Just side by side? I need to grab
a phone shot,
because we're going to have a separate conversation in a little while that is going to make that relevant. Not today. But
okay. And I have pictures if you want, real pictures of them.
No, that's cool. I need your face and, the look that you're giving and everything.
Oh, God. All right. Well, then let's do something like...
Even better.
I have to make the sound so the camera switches.
That's right.
That's why he's a professional right there. That, top-notch acting.
Yeah, not the first 10 minutes where I just clicked on your face and it was sitting there, huh?
I get back to big screen phones, and there's this little part of me that says, if you're going to use a phone that's any bigger than, oh, God, people are going to hate me for this, the the iPhone 5S or the Moto, the original Moto X or the Moto G, or one of the phones that we think of as smaller, you're a fool for not just going all out, getting a Note 3, having the pen, and all the extras that come with the big, huge screen. Making a phone bigger just for the sake of making it bigger just seems very counterintuitive to me.
Yeah, I wrote something, I don't know, it must have been a year ago now, about the whole bigger is better mentality. And I'm 100% with you guys. I mean, sometimes there's a reason. I mean, over time, phones have gotten bigger, and you know, there's a point where you kind of reach a nice level. And of course, there should be variety. Some people want a big phone, some people want a little, some people want in between. But I don't know. In the sake of the Moto X, I want to love this phone. I like a lot of things about it. But as someone who's used the first generation Moto X for so long, I just find myself not loving it in the same way. It's like it's fine, and it has most of the things that the first generation had, but it just doesn't have that kind of special cohesive design that where it all just feels like it comes together, it fits in your hand, the dimple, the way it was put together, the way it felt, the curve. It almost feels like an imitation of that doesn't quite hit that. I don't know. I wish they would come out with this second generation phone in the same shape as the first, which of course is not going to happen.
Are we going to get a Moto X 2014 Mini?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Do that.
Or if they had made the new Moto G that size.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a missed opportunity. Maybe not a missed opportunity, but it's really a step backwards for a company that was doing so many other things differently.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, fine, we'll make it bigger because everybody else is. We get it.
Right. They kind of got on the bandwagon that they had been, I don't want to say fighting, but they weren't afraid to buck the trends, and now they're kind of slowly moving into them. I mean, that said, it's still a really good phone.
Oh, absolutely.
I like about it, but, you know, we're nitpicking here. But,
absolutely. You know, and I would love to have wireless charging, yes.
Do you think that's because of the backs? That's what I'm wondering. Maybe the wood and the leather and the of different materials wouldn't work well. Because I've been trying to figure out, too. I always assumed this generation would have it. I'm trying to figure out why not.
It's probably not that they can't do it, but I wonder if that makes it not economically feasible or just because, you know, you have to choose between one of these three backs. If one of them works well with wireless charging and the other two don't, then you just don't do it.
I have a feeling that it's also a matter of CPU cycles.
Oh, really?
Motorola is doing a lot of stuff even while the phone is idle, and still are with the new version, from what I understand. And how is that stuff going to work if you're monitoring battery levels and everything else with a wireless charger? Mm. You know, that's just a random guess. I haven't talked to anybody. I'm just guessing.
Could also be the curve of the
back
makes that infeasible. Because, I mean, the way coils line up for that kind of stuff, you'd end up needing a special G charger in order for it to work. I would assume. I don't actually know. Could be wrong.
I'd have been ignoring the Q&A long enough. I do like this phone, though. I do like it a lot. It's just big.
Well, just tell me, Phil. Am I going to like it? You know me. You know
you're going to like it, and you're going to hate how big it is. Sorry. You might well use it, but you're going to look down at it and be like, you are just too big.
It's an interesting divide here, because I think the new Moto X might appeal more to people who didn't get the first Moto X. Oh.
You just set it off again, didn't you?
Yeah, I launched it and set to OK Moto X.
Yeah, that's just fine, actually.
But it's not going to appeal to most people who bought the first Moto X because it's going to be too big. So I don't know. Are they just going to find a whole new audience? Or are they going to alienate the people who bought the first one? Then again, they didn't sell as many of the first one as they would like. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm still on the fence as to whether this is one that I would recommend as wholeheartedly as I did the first generation one, or like what you're saying, Phil, if you're going for that size, if you want to, maybe you're better to go with a different device, or even on the question of, is it worth the upgrade? I mean, I still use the first gen one. Do I want to buy this one myself? I don't know. It's going to take a little while longer for me to figure that out, I think.
Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to get this Moto 360 written, but I'm like kind of not in a huge hurry to write this up. You can't buy it yet. And there's not a lot that's like weird about it. It's just, it's like, okay, it's a bigger Moto X. It's a little better in some ways. I don't know.
What you got to do is you got to write that review after you use it for 4 hours.
Right.
Reach all your conclusions of battery life and everything.
I mean, go back and look at my hands-on. The damn thing is almost 2,000 words. let's dive into the Q&A here before we move on. In fact, I'm just going to start at the top. No, I'm not going to start at the top. They're asking about Apple. And I do want us to talk about Apple briefly, but we'll do it in a minute. I'm going to screw this name up. Adal? Maybe you think I got that right? A-D-A-L? Hope I got it right. How about the battery life of the Moto X 2014? Did you have a chance to try the turbocharging? Negative.
It turbo.
Comes with that dual USB charger thing, which I love, by the way. I know Russell loves it, too. But yeah, there's going to be this separate charger that you can buy that will get it from 0 to 50%. What was it, in half an hour?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I think those are dangerous.
The Note 4 also has that capability. So, and it's weird. Samsung didn't really talk about what's going on. And I asked him, I was like, is this a Samsung thing? Is this Qualcomm QuickCharge 2.0 finally taking effect? Because you remember, like, go all the way back to the M8 announcement. HTC's like, yes, it has it. No, you can't have it yet. Well, okay, fine. So I don't really know. Nobody's talking there.
Pretty sure it's a Qualcomm feature, because everything that we're seeing that has it announced is either an 801 or something a slightly greater. But I think that if they're getting kickback from anybody, it's battery people.
That could be.
People who are making the batteries going, don't do this. This is how things explode.
Yeah.
There you go. Part of me thinks there's a very good reason nobody's using this, and I'm glad. Because it's not hard to blow up a battery. I can do it in just a few minutes.
I can't wait until third-party quick chargers get released. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be so much fun.
Now, you know the one thing it's missing is that weird low-power emergency, I forget what everybody's calling it. Ultra hyper power save mode. Yes, that's pretty good.
If you need that on your phone, you've done it wrong.
So I don't know about need, but there are situations where, like if I'm at the bar, and I don't want my phone to like buzz or beep, and I want to know for a fact that it's gonna have plenty of battery life when I leave the bar, then I will set it in that mode. With no expectations. I don't know about need, but it's neat to have in those situations. It's like airplane mode, but not useless.
Do you think they left it off because of what's coming in Android L and knowing how quickly Moto typically gets those releases out?
Maybe, because it would be, if something like that was actually coming built into Android, and I'm not saying it is, I don't know, but I could see them not putting in something else and then initially selling the phone and then taking that feature away and replacing it with something else. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You have to wonder, would Motorola know what's coming in Android? That has to be mentioned, too, at this discussion. If we're going to say we think that maybe that's something coming, that does that mean that Motorola knows what's coming as well?
Well, there is. We do know there's some level of battery mode in L, right? I don't remember exactly how it works, but there's something.
Volta. Project Volta.
Battery saver thing.
It's just new algorithms for monitoring battery life and keeping the processor cycles particularly low and things like that. Not anything as extreme as, turn your screen funny colors and all of your features. But, it could certainly be that the folks at Motorola know that Volta is coming and that's what they're focusing on. But at the same time, at the very least publicly, Motorola and Google have tried to make it sound like they are keeping a wall in between those two groups. But that seems really hard to be true when you consider that a whole bunch of Google project managers went over to Motorola when the company got bought. So
here's a good one from it's not the one I clicked on, but it's also a good one. How is the performance of the Moto 360 compared to the other Android Wear devices? Is it really that much worse because of the older chipset?
Ooh, the other controversy on the interwebs.
Sort of. There are noticeable stutters in the animation. But again, I think I'm making, I freely admit, I think I'm making excuses for it. But I'm not looking at this display anywhere near as long as I'm looking at a phone. So I think I can be a little more forgiving with that if I'm seeing this animation move a little bit. And it's not quite as smooth as I wish it would be. Now, that said, I want to know why the hell that's the case, because it's not like it's pushing that many pixels here.
The only time that I've ever seriously noticed there being a difference in performance between the two, and this is the weirdest place that no one else is ever going to really see it, is the boot animation. The boot animation where all the colors are swirling around and doing stuff like that. If you you boot a Moto 360 and an LG G Watch at the same time side by side, you totally notice it there. But every other time, Like, you have to seriously be staring to notice any other time, I think.
So it's like the difference in boot animations between a GS5 or an M8 versus a phone that was running an OMAP 3 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, basically. And, okay. I mean, this is the, you know, there was a lot of speculation, and then iFixit confirmed it this morning. This is the, you know, it's the Moto Active processor. It's the exact same chipset, and, you know, that's a place that Motorola felt like they could save some money.
I will say one thing. If you started talking about Motorola's dumpster diving for a chipset without mentioning that this is a completely custom version of the OMAP 3, which is easy to verify in the debugger, you owe the internet an apology.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
Well, I think a lot of people get hung up on the numbers and the specs game. I mean, it's important to consider, but when you use this thing, yeah, I have noticed there's a jerky animation sometimes, not always, but it's sometimes a little jerkier than it should be. And if you look at the G Watch next to it, the G Watch is a little smoother in that. But all in all, if you're not staring at it intently and looking at the two watches side by side, the differences are pretty minimal. And even when I did, you guys probably have too, some side by side tests with the 360, and I did it with the G Watch. In terms of responsiveness and actual performance time, it's a pretty subtle difference. Like, if I issue the same voice command to both at the same time, sometimes they'll be neck and neck. Sometimes the G-Watch might be 1, 2, 3 seconds ahead, but it's pretty damn close. And if you're not holding two watches next to each other looking, you're not going to be sitting there twiddling your thumb saying, how is this taking so long? It's not at that level of poor performance by any means, at least not in my experience.
Certainly nothing it would tell me to put the phone down, or put the watch down and not use it. Yeah. All right, I found the one I was going to read earlier, and I think it's Trevin. Asks, do you think that all of the new Moto X features are coming to the original Moto X? Sorry, JR.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought I set his phone off.
No, that wasn't me. Who was that?
Jerry.
They better bring the feature that makes the calendar appointments actually work and shut the volume off.
Oh, yeah.
That's what just happened. I relied on Moto Assist.
Well, look at the features and see what we're talking about here. How much of those are actually phone features, and how much of those are just the Motorola apps?
Well, yeah, like the waving your hand over it to get it to come on, that's obviously the sensors. I can say for sure, because I saw a Moto employee comment on this on Google+, that the new Moto Voice stuff, you know, like being able to set your own custom phrase and all that will come to Moto X, but the original Moto X. But what he said is that it, you know, might be a little while until they're able to get the whatever, the rollout ready to go. But that at least will. And if that will, Motorola doesn't seem like the kind of company to hold things back unless they're hardware related, I wouldn't think.
No, I was told directly that every feature that the hardware supports will be coming eventually, every single one.
Mm-hmm. Which totally makes sense since they're doing all this stuff through the Play Store. I mean, why keep separate versions of the apps?
Fun story about the, let's see if I can get us to do it on camera here, about the little proximity thing, you know, when you bring your hand toward it and it wakes up. So I was at my eldest daughter's soccer practice last night, and I put my phone and my keys and wallet in her bag. And practice is over, and I see, of course, she's going through all my junk in there. And I hear her friend say, cool, it turns on when you reach for it. It's like, boom, they figured it out just right away, these 8-year-olds. Awesome. That's the sign of a really cool feature, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on that note, too, you know, I think with a lot of things, whether it's Android Wear or this Moto X stuff we're talking about, Google and most Android manufacturers, with the exception of maybe Samsung, God, they do a bad job at marketing, because there's so many things like that if you were to market that the right way, think if Apple had that feature on an iPhone. There would be these magical ads, you know, telling us how revolutionary it is, and everyone would say, oh man, I want my phone to be able to do that, that's cool. And here it is on the Moto X, and no one knows. So that's not what they're talking about. Even the first gen Moto X and all the cool things it had, all the ads you saw were just about how you could customize the colors of it. Android Wear, too, is a perfect example. The Apple Watch comes out, and it's on the 5 o'clock, you know, nightly news, NBC, and what have you, and Android Wear's been out for 2 months, we've got the Moto 360, which is a pretty high-profile launch. No one's heard of it. So,
at the same time, I could see it ending horribly. You'd be like, our phone sees you coming. Maybe that's just me.
Motorola had a bunch of really cool commercials that they did for the Moto X after the fact, only on YouTube.
Yep.
And I thought each one of those were amazing and belonged on television, and it never happened.
Mm. Have you guys gotten comments, like being out and about with the Moto 360? I've been surprised how many I have. Just people like the guy behind the counter at Quiznos or whatever, like, hey, what's that watch? What
yesterday,
that
twice. Is that the new Apple Watch?
Right. Especially especially since Tuesday.
Yeah.
I got a few beforehand, though, even with the G-Watch. And it kind of depends on what you're doing, right? If you're just wearing it, they might be, oh, is that one of those new smartwatches? Okay, cool. But now it's like, hey, what's it do? What is, you know, like, what all can you do with it?
Is it made of magic?
Right.
Interesting story there, JR. On the way back from Google I.O., Homeland Security pulled me into an office for talking to my gear live.
Oh, really? Man, don't even get me started with coming home from I.O.
They needed to take pictures of it, see what it is, and have me explain how it worked. They thanked me. Now they know what to look for in the future. They thought it was cool.
No, and that's
San Francisco?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let me tell you something.
All the thousands of people going through, that's amazing.
The San Francisco airport people, so many terrible memories. Coming through that airport with unreleased technology is just a bad idea.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, that's, at least it sounds like that's the good way of doing it. You know,
oh, yeah. I think they did a very good job, and I'm more than happy to spend 5 minutes while I'm waiting 2 hours for a plane to show it to them so they know what they're looking at.
I'm not saying Jerry doesn't deserve to be locked up, but just not for that.
Well, not for that. They didn't check my pockets.
It might have just been the beard. I mean, they were like, this guy, something's a little shady. He doesn't look right. Let's get him in here.
I had a Grateful Dead t-shirt on and a floppy Vietnam hat, too, believe
Did they also pat you down? See what you might be carrying?
No, they were cool.
She had a way better experience than I did.
All right, we're about to talk about the major changes to Google Hangouts, but first I want to talk about this. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. Now, if you're like me and coding HTML just isn't your thing, and trust me, it's not my thing, Squarespace has you covered. Now, I needed to get a website up and running for my wife just as quickly as I could, and thanks to Squarespace's easy drag-and-drop content management system, not to mention all of the excellent templates, and you can pick and choose and try them out. Extremely simple. I was able to get things going faster than I ever could have on my own. Plus, your website will automatically have responsive design, so it'll work on phones and tablets, as well as on a traditional browser. No extra coding on your part whatsoever. And when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to go to squarespace.com and use offer code Android to get 10% off your first purchase and to show your support for our little podcast here. And we thank Squarespace for their support. Squarespace, a better web starts with your website. Well, let's actually, God, we're going long today. I don't care. I was going to say, let's talk about Apple. We can talk about them in a minute because I don't know if there's that much to be said. But I do want to spend some time on Hangouts. And I think we need to preface it with a lot of what we're going to talk about, I think, probably revolves around Google Voice, which is still kind of a niche thing. And you know, Google Voice does not equal a Hangouts experience. But I think for a lot of people in this podcast, it might be. So Google Hangouts is finally getting that cool Material Design refresh. It looks really nice. Done really nicely. They're really pushing SMS integration, and I kind of have to separate my brain because it's been so long since I used normal SMS, just, you know, attached to whatever phone number is on the phone, and so I'm kind of having a hard time remembering, you know, what's different and what's not. But where do you guys stand on it at this point as far as the upgrade itself?
I love it.
Yeah, it freed
it's exactly
my phone.
What I wanted.
It freed my phone from iMessage hell. Now I can get Google Voice text in a regular client with pictures, and I think it works great. But like Phil said, I use a Google Voice number.
Yeah, same here.
What about you, Jair?
Well, I think I'm the only person who hasn't gotten that migrate prompt, you know, that lets you get full Google Voice functionality in there, the voicemail and everything. So I'm still waiting to get the full experience. There's no way to force that, I think, is there?
No, it's a weird server-side thing. So let's back up if you don't know what we're talking about. So all four of us is a Google Voice user.
Let's back up to where JR has two Moto X's and is not allowed to complain that he doesn't have
Fair enough, yeah.
That's all right, so the really short version of Google Voice, if you don't use it, is it's a Google service that gives you one phone number that can actually ring multiple devices, right? So you could call my Google Voice number, and it rings my phone at home, and it rings how many other cell phones I have attached to it, and it gets really fun sometimes when that happens.
Hmm.
It also means you have this separate text message system, basically. It doesn't. It kind of looks and acts like normal text messages, but they're not. They're sent over a traditional data channel and not, you know, whatever that side channel is that the cell companies use. So things work a little different. It takes a little. Yeah, we talked about this before. That's why it took so long to get all this stuff integrated once Google decided to start putting text messages into Hangouts. Where do you guys stand on that? I mean, on one hand, I like that it was separate, but I also like that I have them all in one place now. And honestly, I haven't decided which I like better.
As long as it's not overly complicated for me to sort for a text message on the phone, and I haven't spent enough time with it to really decide that because I don't get a terrible amount of text messages as it is. But as long as it's easy to search, and so far on the desktop, it has been super easy. There's a gigantic label that separates SMS and Hangout messages, so I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But you know, I'm all for it as long as it's easy to tell the difference between them.
As long as Smart Reply keeps working, and my reply goes to the person that sent me something the same way they expect to receive it, I'm great with everything being integrated. Again, that's a blatant ripoff of iMessage, but it's great. It works. It works good on the iPhone. Let's hope it continues to work as well on Android as it seems to have so far.
Well, it really goes back to the old Palm days, right?
I guess. Yeah, mostly. Okay. I'm not exactly sure how Palm was doing some of the things. I have a handle on how Apple and Google are doing it. So it may be closer than I think.
I'm just looking forward to the day when I can completely uninstall the old Google Voice app. I know now, even once you get that little thing to migrate completely in, it's the call forwarding stuff. You still need the formal voice app to do it. But
We spent most of Wednesday looking at this. I was sitting in the hotel room in Vegas just racking my brain on it and trying to figure out what was working and what wasn't. And it was, I mean, it's a little complicated.
It seriously is. Your post was great. Your post was what I used to educate myself on it. I saw your breakdown of everything.
Even then, we got through and I'm like, there's got to be something wrong here. I must have missed something, you know, seriously easy. And even as we're editing it and like doing the final edit, we realized that, oh crap, if you click on a phone number in Chrome or Maps or anything, it's not going to call through Google Voice anymore. Maybe that's a big deal, maybe it's not, but it's this functionality that I've had and has always worked, and suddenly that doesn't work anymore.
That's a good point. And to place a call to where you can have it ring another phone, you probably still need the old Google Voice extension for that in Chrome, I would think.
Yes, and on your phone you need to have the Google Voice app installed to do that.
Right.
To route.
But I'm sure that...
Or call out from the Hangouts dialer, right? See, I still need to work with this stuff some more.
We're not the only ones who have seen this. I will guarantee you somebody at Google is working on a fix for that.
Yeah,
it's going to be just like, you know, the default SMS section in the settings. It's going to have default dialer.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
Late 2019, I think, is the target release date.
For Android Q.
Yeah. I mean, this is all futuristic stuff. And again, we're kind of the niche, you know, nerds using this.
Yeah. I'll out-nerd you one step. I've actually been using Google Voice in Hangouts for a while.
Oh, yeah. No, so
same here.
Okay.
I take phone calls with this giant mic in the office all the time. And actually, it's been really great. Like, when we go to Barcelona or just anytime I'm out of the States, you know, I would call home, especially before, before FaceTime. And I would, you know, call my wife's phone and stuff, but I would call, you know, the house or my parents or whatever. I'd call them over Google Voice through Gmail. I've done it from airplanes before because it works on airplanes, you know, and it's free and it's easy and it's just right there.
I love it. I realize that it's going to take a little while for everything to fully integrate. And, you know, realistically, a couple of the things that are happening can't fully integrate until we see Android L become more than just a letter. So I don't...
Why? What features are missing?
Well, so a lot of the stuff that we're doing right now with the dialer specifically, you know, the dialers are complicated things. When it comes to our phones, the reason that we don't screw around with our dialers is because, you know, the frameworks themselves that govern those are system-level processes. You can't just replace the application. Even some of the apps that we have that you know, act as dialers are really just, you know, routing through the existing dialer application, and that causes other weird problems if that app doesn't end up working correctly. So what makes way more sense in this situation is for Android L to have a new dialer framework for this stuff to plug into. And while I don't know for a fact that that's happening, that makes the most sense for how this would function moving forward. And that's, you know, that is why I'm more than willing to be patient, because making calls, messing with the dialer is a really complicated process. I took it upon myself to do something really silly one time and mess with the dialer on the Nexus One to you know, implement this thing. I wanted the little ball to flash separate colors when specific people called.
Mm-hmm.
And went messing around with it, and all of the people that I spoke to, not a single one of them, like, when I mentioned it, they went, man, I'm not dumb enough to play with the dialer. And then, I mean, that list includes, like, Steve Kondik and a bunch of other people that I went to and went, hey, help me with this. They were like, yeah, no, I tap, dude, it's cool.
We were talking earlier about kind of who's doing this, or who's going the right direction, who's going to do it the best, so Google is kind of bringing everything under Hangouts a little bit, for better or for worse. I think it's a good thing. I just, you know, hope they're being a little careful about it. And I saw this week they're making it so you don't have to have a Google Plus account to make video calls anymore, which I think is a great thing. Yeah. You have Apple in iOS 8 and Yosemite with all this continuity stuff is it continuity? What are they calling it? Is it continuity?
I think it's continuity.
Yeah. That's what it is now. That's what I'm calling it. So that'll be out in a little while. You know, you have that. You have FaceTime. They're doing a lot of things really interesting. Are Microsoft and Skype keeping up, or is that still too separate, too weird? I don't know.
They are definitely separate.
Yeah, they did put Skype into the web version of Outlook, I think, a while back. But I don't know beyond that if they've done anything. Skype is just so awful to use. I hate whenever I have to get on. I mean, every now and then you have a thing you got to do, or it's someone you have to talk to. And after getting used to Hangouts, it just feels like you're stepping back into, you know, a decade-old technology with it. It never works well, and it's a pain in the ass, and you can't use it on the web. It's like, come on, guys. If you're going to keep this thing going, let's bring it up to the current year or current decade of technology.
Well, especially, you know, the difference between FaceTime and Skype is FaceTime is only accessible to X percentage of the people that have an electronic device, whereas Skype is accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you have on your desktop or the phone you have, that tells me that Microsoft should be spending billions to integrate it completely, a one-step solution for everything on their platform. I just don't know why they're not.
Well, and that also means it's that much difficult to change, right? Because Skype is much more ubiquitous.
Well, yeah, I would think you could integrate it deeply into Windows on the desktop and the phone without affecting the other clients. I would think. I don't get paid to think.
Yes, you do.
I say we just all start going back to AOL Instant Messenger. Use that and nothing else.
I know people who still use it.
Sadly, I do too, and I have to use it for some work purposes.
But if you think JR's a hottie, press 2.
Crickets.
Should we do some more Q&A?
Yay.
Sean Paul wants to know, is the new Moto X a worthwhile upgrade from the old Moto X?
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to say yes, but you're really going to have to not care about the size.
Yeah. I think the first question you've got to ask yourself is how you feel about the size. Because if you love the size of your current phone, you're not going to be happy. If you're indifferent or would like a bigger one, then yeah, maybe. But Phil, most people I know who have the Moto X. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Hold it up next to something like the G3 or the S5 or something.
All right, hang on.
Let us get an idea exactly how big this sucker is. I'll cause more work for you every opportunity I can.
While he's doing that, I'll give you another Moto X to Moto X demo.
See? That just makes my heart rip a little bit.
All my phones are spread out. So here it is next to the GS5. It's actually...
That tells a lot of the story right there.
It's really close to the same size as the GS5. GS5 is just a tad wider. And maybe it's just a smidge taller. So they're really, really close.
It's not like Xperia Z Ultra.
Big monster. Here it is next to the Fire Phone. Will be the only place that you see these side by side ever.
You ought to put those in an arena and let them fight like scorpions.
Yeah, why that's sitting on my desk, I don't know. Here it is next to the G3. See if you can tell me. The G3 is a decent little amount taller and wider. They're actually shaped very much the same, though. I had an M8 somewhere. Here it is. Here it is next to the M8. The M8 is still taller than everything.
Well, as you say, the M8 is always taller.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's bigger compared to the old Moto X. It's relative to everything else that's out there now.
So, by your little comparison there, I'm thinking that if you're okay with the Nexus 5 or the Galaxy S5, you're probably going to be okay with it.
Right, but then my question is, why not get one of those?
Right, that's a completely separate thing. I mean, if you're a Motorola fanboy like me, you're going to get it and then complain for 12 months and hope the next one is better.
Yeah. Brian wants to know, did anyone get a Moto Hint to review? Negative, that I know of. And it's actually really cool, but they just didn't give them out with everything else. And frankly, I've got plenty to look at right now. But no, I'm really curious to try those out because I've used Motorola Bluetooth, you know, back in the day. I never really liked walking around with a Bluetooth headset in. And if I do now, I'm using one of the, you know, wrap around your neck things just when I'm exercising or mowing the lawn because they're really convenient for that. But
quick detour, I think Samsung's wraparound headphones are just the best ones that are out right now. They're so much more comfortable than the ones LG is making.
I haven't tried them on yet, but it looks. We were hanging out with some Samsung people the other night, and you know, so they attach like almost like a bolo tie.
Yeah,
that was kind of my joke. It comes with a free bolo tie, and so it attaches right here, and it looks a little chunky right around your neck. And then when you get a call, you take them apart and you just stick them in your ears, and you're connected.
And it vibrates when you get a call. Like yep. You get it has the vibration sensor when you get a call. But yeah, it's like. The LG Tones are neat, but that weird U-brace that gets fit around your neck, it bothers me to have it around there. And I think it's just that my neck is too fat. But the Samsung ones are just so much more comfortable.
Think anyone's actually going to wear those? Can you picture people walking around other than in, like, San Francisco, maybe?
You know what's funny is that I see them all the time in a couple of different places. Train security folks... people who work on like the Amtrak line wear them all the time, and people who work in jobs where they're doing like stock. I see them all the time in like Best Buy. People who are working like in the back unpacking stuff in Best Buy and stuff like that. Anybody who has like you know one of those kind of repetitive behind the scene jobs. Everyone that I've talked to that owns one of those, they love them. It's like the greatest invention to them.
I see, and I never thought the LG ones would take off, but they absolutely have.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Well, I know that little Motorola one. I think I'm going to start enlarging the hole in my ear. And I'm going to get one of those great big round ones like the size of a quarter so I can stick it right in there.
I think you're onto something.
That was a good question, though. With all the new updates coming to Android Wear, asked Travis, what features do you think we'll get? I love the idea of being able to actually stick music on it and have it push music back to Bluetooth. And Samsung's doing that now. There's not a whole lot of storage on these things, so I think we need to manage expectations there. I would assume that would come with an update to Google Play Music to make that pretty easy to do.
Yeah, that's going to make us realize, at first it was kind of like, okay, limited storage on these, who cares, you're not really putting much on them, but that may be a problem then. I wonder if the next generation are going to start coming with more internal storage because of that.
No SD card, no buy.
I don't want to talk about coming to music.
Well, I mean, people are going to have the expectation that they can fit their entire music library on their watch. And unless somebody makes one with an SD card, that's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
And here's another question, and this is a little inside geekery that won't affect too many people either, but I know it affects all of you guys. The recent thing where they put on the annual limit to how many devices you can authorize and deauthorize from Google Play Music, I wonder if a watch is going to ever factor into that with this, if it's going to start counting as its own device. If so, that's...
I don't want to talk about it, JR.
No,
it hurts.
I'm done. I'm done again for the year. I can't have any more devices, and that's ridiculous. So
it is. So let me ask you on a slight tangent, because I haven't wanted to test this because I'm scared to get to that point. If you have your own music stored in Google Play Music and you max out on authorizations, you can't even get to that on a new device, right? Oh, no, see now that I get the streaming maybe for legal reasons, but if it's your own music, oh, I don't like that.
It doesn't let you connect. It just tells you that you've got too many devices, and then when you go to deauthorize one, it tells you, no, bad blogger, you already did four.
Kind of defeats the whole purpose of put it on Google Play Music, upload it once, and access it from any device anywhere. Not cool.
Yeah.
I have three different Google Glass units in the Manage My Device section. I'm screwed no matter what I do.
I think it was you, Phil, who mentioned, I don't remember if it was in an article or in a Google Plus post or something, but the idea of if we could pay like $50 a year for an unlimited pass or a double that pass. I know we're on a major tangent here. Sorry to.
No. I would absolutely pay more.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. No,
I would totally
offer that option. It. Yeah.
What's that, Jerry?
I would totally invoice it. I'll pay $1,000.
Can I get in on this?
takes such advantage of me. What do you guys think? Mark asks, I got a Moto 360 this week, and I love it so. Oh, I love it so far. I thought he was going to talk about how fat the watch is. I mean, everybody, I think, before they got these watches said, it's too big, it's too big. I got to see the LG G Watch R this week and got to put it up, you know, side by side with the 360. And it's bigger than the 360, but none of these is any bigger than just any normal watch that's big and gaudy and available now.
Yeah, I don't get the complaints on the thickness. I mean, it's a little big, the face, and I have kind of thin wrists, so all the pictures I've taken of it look even more so. But other than that, I don't know. It hasn't struck me as being overly thick, and it's not uncomfortable. And even though the face is a little large, if it were much smaller, it would kind of take away from the usability of it, I think.
I think the problem is that some of these people, the last watch that they bought had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on them. Not to be insulting, but I mean, like, it's been a while since a lot of these people have worn watches, and so, you know, the design trends that follow watches are probably not something that they pay particularly close attention to. But you go to any like mall kiosk where they sell watches, and you look down at the selection, and they're all huge now, like way bigger than the Moto 360 in most cases on these watch shelves. And these are the ones, you know, like these guys aren't going to put up watches that people aren't buying. So it's,
if you want to talk about the thickness, I call it a nice watch. And it is, if you take in the case back and the bezel and especially the magnifier for the date, it is actually thicker than the 360. It's not as big around. The 360 is probably close to, what is it, 58 millimeter? 56, somewhere around there? And these are, a high-end sport watch is usually about 44 or 46. There are a lot of great big ones out there, but none of the manufacturers who think they own the market haven't went that big yet. But it is actually thicker from top to bottom.
So there you go. Here's a good thing that we haven't talked about, and we should talk about Apple very briefly. Moboy92 asks, do you think that Google Wallet will get more attention now that Apple Pay got so much attention? I certainly hope so. That's a space that never really took off as much as I thought it would. I know Russell uses NFC to pay all the time. For me, it's just never seemed to be any quicker than pulling my wallet out. But I'd certainly imagine it can't hurt, right?
That all depends on the authorization system that Apple Pay is using. If Apple Pay has made deals with these guys and locked them all down, which we saw Verizon do in a couple of places with ISIS, which is now called SoftBank because of reasons, then, you know, it's entirely possible that Google Wallet will become an even smaller market if Apple has managed to make exclusive agreements with these folks. I certainly hope that that's not the case, but I'm leaning more towards Google Wallet. Google's going to have to fight, I think, in order to get some kind of even ground. And so far, it feels like they kind of haven't been.
Well, the minute Eddie Q started on about how Apple didn't do this to try to make a lot of money, we did it for the users, I instantly knew Apple did this to make a lot of money. And they're going to lock Google Wallet out. I'm in agreement with Russell. I think they just killed Google Wallet, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that that's not the case, but when they started saying things like, you know, like the Disney store and the Apple store and how it was going to work, you know, really well in all of these places. The only thought that came to mind was that I can bet money that those are places where Google Wallet is not going to function.
Well, right. You know, you're never going to be able to use Google Wallet at the Apple store. That's never going to happen. So whatever they're using, you know, feature-wise and however they have it encrypted, it's going to work with Apple. That means that if you can use your MasterCard at the Apple store with Apple Pay, you're never going to be able to use Google Wallet with your MasterCard at that particular terminal.
Kind of want to try. Go into an Apple store, just break out.
I am absolutely going to try. And I've actually been into the Apple store and used my my actual physical Google debit card.
Nice.
And it wasn't actually to, like, you know, stick a finger in anyone's eye. I had actually lost my ATM card at the time.
I have mine sitting here, and it's been sitting on my desk since I got it. I haven't used it once.
Likewise, I didn't even actually activate it. I ordered it, but I haven't had a reason to use it.
Sad story. My wife puts money on it and allows me to use it.
Yay!
Anyway, she can control how much money I spend when I'm drunk and at the computer.
Your wife is smarter than mine in that respect, I think.
You know, I did, at one point I made a comment on Twitter or Google Plus or somewhere about how I never saw a reason to use it, and a lot of people mentioned that kind of thing. Yep. Either that or, I mean, also with teenagers, that they would put it on for, you know, like a 16-year-old to kind of do an allowance, so I guess some people are using them. It's for that it could work. Maybe not to Jerry's advantage, but...
I want to say, my wife's not mean or anything. She does the finances, and this is Jerry's gadget fund. She throws it on that card for me to just blow however I want.
Well, and, you know, yeah, she knows you.
Yeah, she... The strip club won't take the Google Wallet card, so...
Well, that's just discrimination.
By the way, this totally kills the coin card thing, right? Even
I hope
that it was already dead.
I hope. Those people deserve to die. Just
that night.
Ow. Give us your credit card information for our beta program. I can picture some bald guy rubbing his hands and palms together with glee, thinking of how he's going to rob you.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is that you know, they announced a lot of individual retail locations or a lot of individual retail companies for Apple Pay, and it sounded like a lot because they listed, you know, 10 or 12 of them and had another 10 more behind. That's not nearly enough to have, you know, a measurable effect. This is still something that is very much within kind of the geek ecosystem. I don't think Apple Pay at launch is nearly big enough to do anything mainstream. So I feel like Google Wallet kind of has a little bit of time here if Apple locks things down to you know, make things interesting. But I also think that if that happens, we're going to have this weird duopolis ecosystem for mobile payments, and it's going to suck.
Well, and, you know, Russell knows exactly where I live. I live right on the edge of civilization and Bear Grylls country. It depends on which direction I go. The only place local to me, and local is a 40-mile radius, that I can actually use Google Wallet Tap to Pay is at a Coke machine at the Walmart in Martinsburg. I can use my phone to buy a soda. None of the places around me are going to spend the money to upgrade all their terminals and the infrastructure unless they were on that list that Apple gave out and the corporate is doing all this.
Right.
You know, it's not ready yet.
And it's one of those things that, you know, it's not just as simple as installing the terminal. The cashiers have to be trained. And that was something that I learned the hard way when I saw, you know, the tap-to-pay terminals at my local supermarket when Google Wallet first rolled out. And I got super excited. And I went to tap it, and the woman running the cash register looked at me like I had seven heads and went, no, you know, you can't do that. You need to use your card. And I was like, no, I mean, like, it recognized it. You just have to push a button on you. And she was like, no, can't do it. So, I mean, like, that has to happen, and it definitely has to be a widespread change in order for this to catch on. So, hopefully it's not terrible. I really am hopeful that it's not terrible.
All right, I want to burn through some more questions before we get out of here. Is some kind of facial hair required to be in the Android Central podcast?
Yes.
It is now.
You notice that Alex Dobie is not here right now.
Oh!
Special week at AC.
Alex is taking a much-deserved few days off. That poor guy. He worked harder than I did. Well, he usually does, but...
I didn't even have to say it. Thank you.
Mike asked, did you see some new things from Apple that you think Android is missing? I didn't get all... I mean, and we can make fun of the stream all we want. It was horrible. But I didn't get all that much out of the new Apple stuff other than, you know, from the phone size, okay, it's bigger iPhones, little redesign, more powerful, blah, 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 whatever. I took some crap and Jerry knew I was going to, and he warned me on Google Plus because I saw Ron Amadeo did the funny picture of the Nexus 4 next to the iPhone 6, and I get it. I get the comparison. You can't compare the two, and he knows that, yeah. And I know that, and everybody knows that.
And especially when you use things in your comparison that weren't available when the Nexus 4 launched.
How about that? But
I just...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get that much out of the phone other than, all right, they're bigger iPhones, and I think Apple absolutely had to go bigger. They had to do bigger iPhones, and they had to give you a choice of sizes. That's probably the most important thing they could have done this time around. The rhetoric is just out of control, though.
Did you really see anything you didn't absolutely expect to see?
Not really, and honestly, nothing that innovative. I still think they do the fingerprint stuff better than anybody. I still think they do the hardware-software matchup better than just about anybody, though I think Motorola is pretty damn close in ease of use and just making it all work.
I was genuinely surprised to see that only one of them has optical image stabilization.
Yes, yep. Agreed.
That was legitimately surprising. And the battery difference between the two is kind of staggering as well. It's that was kind of weird.
The optical image stabilization just feels like a money grab to get you to buy the more expensive one. Even if it's not, it just feels like it.
I'm curious to see how much better it makes the camera, because the camera experience has always been really good. Except for taking pictures. I've never enjoyed doing that because the window is just so tiny in a phone that already feels small to me. Somebody hands me an iPhone to take their picture and I'm just like squinting at it.
Think of it as like a viewfinder to the
right.
6 Plus. Two of them together.
I'm real curious to see what size my wife goes for. Because, you know, she's been using iPhones forever and she just said she'd prefer, you know, the big one. And I'm like, the big one? Big one? Because you make fun of all my big phones. Yes, we're going to completely talk about that thread out of context in a little while, I'm sure. Dustin wants to know, I've heard about Fossil working with Intel on a new smartwatch. What are your thoughts on this?
Fossil has been playing the field for a little while now, hoping to find someone to do stuff with them. And it was going to be this one company, and it's not this one company, and I'm not allowed to say it. But Intel needs to do something as far as their wearables, because they've got so many weird kind of disparate technologies that belong in wearable devices that aren't there yet. So it'll I hope that something cool comes from it. It needs to happen.
Yeah, I love the idea of all these traditional watch manufacturers getting into the Android Wear and the smartwatch game. I think we heard a couple of other names back when Wear first was coming out, so that'll be really cool if and when that happens and they come to market. I think they could kind of up the game in design anti-escode. Of course, the HTC, which is supposedly now back in next year, it seems like the second generation of Wear watches should get pretty cool.
Intel, when it comes to doing stuff at the component level, things that your processor can do natively, Intel is Intel. I mean, they're a giant in that space. If Intel wanted to focus the R&D and the money on it, they could advance this wearable category much faster and much better than anybody else. This is just my opinion. But they do so many things, and none of them ever get to the consumer. Mm-hmm. Last week they announced something that really caught my eye, a wheelchair that has sensors and, you know, things about your health, but also about the condition of your wheelchair, the lubrication of the wheels and how your tire pressure, that kind of stuff. There is a market for that. Intel made something. If they release it, they'll price it out of the market, or they'll just never release it. So just when, because you see the words Fossil and Intel together, doesn't mean you should expect to ever see anything on the shelf, which is unfortunate.
Well, Intel's favorite words are licensed to enterprise verticals.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, doesn't mesh well with Fossil. So, you know, hopefully this is a cool step, you know, away from that.
I'd love to see one. Those are two companies that both need to get deeply involved.
I've also been super hopeful about, you know, an Intel Android device for a long time, and
yep.
That ship has just never come in.
We didn't talk about HTC any because there's nothing really to say, but they have scheduled a double exposure event on the 8th. Bloomberg today was talking about them having some sort of GoPro-type device. I can say with certainty right now, I have absolutely no idea what they're going to talk about and show off. You know, we know they're working on a tablet, and apparently, you know, NVIDIA was leaking. It was NVIDIA leaking HTC stuff? I didn't actually read that story, or was it just other Nexus nodes?
NVIDIA had to put some information in a legal brief that, of course, somebody read.
Oops. You know, there's still rumored to do a smartwatch or not do a smartwatch, depending on what day of the week it is. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
All I know is if HTC makes a GoPro, that's the one I can stick on my dog.
Yeah.
Hey, breaking news, everybody. My wife says she thinks the 6 Plus is going to be too big.
Ha.
So if you think she's wrong, you know where to find her on Twitter. Hello. She starts getting random tweets from people. She's like, what did you do this time?
I messaged her on Google Plus on purpose.
Yeah, oh yeah. That stuff more and more. All right, one last Q&A, and then we're out of here, I think. Anybody see anything that tickles their fancy or anything else?
Well, I thought I saw something really early on. Any word on Verizon's new droids?
Oh, yes. There's the Droid Turbo, which that name came out a long time ago in our forums, actually, and I don't know how it got there.
That Droid Landing Twitter account, as you guys probably saw, has been active again.
It's buzzing.
Yep. Yeah, I think the last thing it was talking about basically that turbocharging that we were talking about earlier, which depends whatever droid is going to be kind of the base model of the new Moto X. So they're building up to something. It's interesting and makes a lot more sense this go round that those will follow the Moto X instead of the weird way it happened last year where those came out first.
But if you're watching this podcast, I want you to think, are you one of the people who's out there screaming for the updates for the Droid line after the Verizon Moto X has already received them? Remember that when you go to buy one. That way next year you're not screaming about something that you have no control over.
But it says Droid.
But Jerry, what about a Droid Mini?
Droid.
You know, I wanted to love that phone.
I did love that phone, and I love the Razer M as well.
Yeah.
So the Razer M was a nice little device. I like that one.
Hey, by the way, my T-Mo Moto X still does not have a 4.4. I'm just saying.
I don't know what to tell you there. I thought they all...
like you're in need of some purity.
It's actually the unlocked version, but, you know, T-Mo SKU, so... I think that's going to do it, if only because I have a soccer game to go to in a few minutes. As always, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. In one of these weeks, I'm actually going to read any of those podcasts. Here's one from Chris just now. Wants to know, once you integrate Google Voice with Hangouts, is it permanent? I don't think so. I think you can actually opt out if you go to...
In fact, there's a separate button in the Google Voice app
right. That
allows you to backpedal it. It like floats as soon as you open it.
See, I have now read an email. So, thus justifying my giving out the address every show. As always, you can find us on Google+ and Twitter and Instagram, Android Central, and just search our names and all that stuff. JR, where can we find you during the day?
I wish I knew.
Not like your address, you know, your where do you live online?
That I wish I knew too. No, the easiest place is if you go Google+, Twitter. If you go to my own writing website, jrstart.com, it's got links to all my stuff because it appears in a few different places. So that's the easiest place to go.
Russell is still at geek.com, and you can find him at our sites every now and then, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
A little more next week.
Yes.
And I want to throw out something real quick, Phil. I had to dig for it. Peter, who just didn't have time to send in an email and was unable to listen live this week.
Uh-huh.
He asked about Samsung official straps for his Gear Live.
Yes.
Samsung told me they're still coming. They didn't give me any date, any colors, any reason why they're not here yet, but I promised him I would ask and answer it on the podcast so he can listen to it on his commute.
And very quickly, we didn't talk about it at all, but we should have. Other straps, replacement straps on the 360. Got to be real careful, right? Yep. We're having a hard time finding some that are small enough to...
And you don't want to break that plastic cover over the or rip your fancy strap.
Yeah, like Jerry did.
Yeah. But there are ones that'll fit. You just need to be very selective and don't just think you can order something off Amazon and it's going to just work.
And Motorola told us from the get-go last week, they said, look, it's 22 mil, it'll work, but it might be a little tough. And, you know, if you use them from us, we know they'll work. So stay tuned for that, I guess. I can't wait to get the metal, though. Apparently, everybody was showing me on Google Plus today, the Pebble Steel one works. So I'm going to go out and buy myself a black Pebble Steel.
Buy two.
Bracelet. Yeah, send you one.
How much do those cost? Probably a lot less than the official Moto ones are going to, right?
I think so, yeah. I don't remember offhand. But well, Russell, Jerry, JR, thank you guys. Everybody listening live, watching live, thank you. I'm sorry we didn't get to more Q&A questions. I wish we need to just spend a whole show answering questions again sometime soon. Maybe we'll do that next week. Maybe we won't.
Q&A,
we'll
take a drink podcast.
Yes.
Just saying, Hangouts opened up the ability for us to do full-on 24-hour marathon Hangouts on air. That was a feature that they rolled out. Just
and Russell volunteers for a 24-hour.
I would totally do that.
I still think we ought to do one for charity sometime. That'd be
That was what I was saying. We could do a Q&A for charity marathon thing.
I'm in for charity. Just tell me when.
Fair enough. Everybody listening at home later, thank you guys too. You are also important. We don't forget you. Everybody who commented on my beard, thank you. It's coming along nicely. You know, my 4-year-old won't let me kiss her goodnight anymore.
Oh.
Yes, Jason, that is an Nexus Q behind me. Right there. That's it. We're out of here. See y'all next week.
Later.
Toodles. Bye.